You know, hunger, I don't think we were hungry enough. It's hard to be hungry when you're full, and I think we had a lot of guys that were full.
What's going on, everyone? You're listening to the Long Island Sound Podcast, your source for everything Isles, and the only Islanders podcast to finally remember what it's like to lose a game in regulation. A moment of silence for the streak. I'm one of your hosts, Damon Vetteri, and I'm joined, as always, by one of my co-hosts, Ben Cohen. Ben, how are you?
I'm good. I'm coming down to your neck of the woods for Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yeah.
Explain.
So I have some family in Florida, in Boca. And so I have the classic, you know, Jewish grandparents in Boca Raton.
Not a stereotype at all.
Yeah, no, not at all. and so my uncle lives there with his two kids. So I'm going down there to stay for a couple of days and have Thanksgiving and, you know, be thankful for the Islanders being pretty good.
You know, not a whole lot we can complain about. And that's awesome. I'm glad you're going to be heading down this way. The weather's kind of a little bit cooler now. It kind of feels a little bit like Thanksgiving should, but not quite. Still got that Florida twist, but it's nice.
And
it's
weather like.
It's like today was like 75 during the day and sunny. It was absolutely gorgeous. And then at night, it's in the 60s. You can't beat that. So
I just checked the weather. The high tomorrow, 81 and sunny. The high Thursday, 81 and sunny. Friday, 79 and sunny.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm waking up. Let's see. It's 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, and I will be waking up in 9 hours.
Nice. Well, we'll make the podcast quick because I'm sure not only are we bleary-eyed, but so are our listeners if they've been staying up late as the Isles continue their West Coast swing, where the streak finally did die last night in Anaheim. That was a rough one. I mean, look, I see it on Twitter and everybody kind of, you know, everything's exaggerated on social media. So, you know, I take it with a grain of salt. But really, I mean, how could you be upset? I mean, yeah, they laid an egg last night, but this team has found ways to win. They've been battling this whole streak. You know, games that they had no business winning. The Philly game, down 3-0, they come back, they win in the shootout. The two overtime wins against the Penguins in the home and home. I mean, just finding ways to get points. I thought they played a much better game in San Jose. Obviously, they lost that one in overtime 2-1. But, you know, there's not much you can really be upset about. This is hockey. There's good teams. And, you know, you're not going to win every game. And as long as you keep putting points together, keep winning, we're going to be in a great spot for home ice in the playoffs. And then we'll see what happens. But, you know, you can't really complain about it. I know there's things that we're going to get into, but overall, I've not been this high on an Islanders team in probably, I don't know, maybe my entire life. I mean, besides that 2001-2002 team that started 11-1, I mean, this team I think is even more impressive with the length of the streak with 17 points, set a franchise record, 17 games with a point, 15-0-2. I mean, that's impressive. That's impressive. So I'm happy. We lost last night, but you know what? Not much to be upset about in Islanders country.
Yeah, it's hard because, like you said, obviously things in social media are exaggerated, but it's tougher when, like you said in the intro, we forgot what it's like to lose. I mean, the Islanders, when they played poorly, like in the Philly game, like in the St. Louis game, bar the last 6 minutes, you're about to jump on the podcast and you're thinking about, oh, what are we going to say about this Islanders team that was awful? And then they win. So, you know, you change the mood, but they've lost. And so I understand why people are down on it. And they really did lay an egg. But again, like you're spot on that you know, 15-0-2 doesn't lie. So it's tough to not be happy. I think that it's obvious that from the front office to the fan base to Trotz to the that losing is how much that it means to the team that, you know, they're just going to jump right back on track. I'm really not worried.
Yeah. Yeah. And the expectation for this team is really always to play consistent, and they expect to win every night. I mean, even down to when they were at the height of their streak, when they were up, you know, 10 wins in a row and they're flying. I mean, they would get scored on, and you look down that bench and they were just upset and angry and like, no, that can't happen. You know, they expect to be perfect. And you know what? Say what you will about certain dynasties, but that's how the Patriots play the game. That's how the Yankees of the 90s played the game. They expected to win every night. And that, I think we are finally starting to really see the culture change that Lou Lamoriello spoke about, you know, last summer, coming in, saying how, you know, things need to change and it's a, you know, a slow process. I think you can finally see what that means. And that's something that, regardless of what the record is, and look, the team is going to have slumps this year. It's a long season. It's a grueling 82-game schedule. So there's going to be dips. There's going to be peaks. There's going to be valleys. But the expectation is always to be the best. And that's something that I think we should be more excited about than anything else, even the streak and the points. So that's really where I'm really, really jazzed and excited to see where that goes.
You hit the nail on the head. I think it's this culture change where it's about winning. It's about accountability. We've said it over and over and over again about how even when Beauvillier hasn't been scoring the season, although that's not that often, which is such an awesome thing to say, he's participating. You never end a period thinking, wait, Beauvillier played? He's right. Always, when he's on the ice, you know it. And to be honest, that's true with almost every guy on the roster right now. And I don't think there's another team in the National Hockey League that you can say that for. Right. Even the guys that aren't playing well, with the exception of a few that like Trotz said against Anaheim, there were passengers, which maybe is the first time in a long time that we've said that there are passengers on this team, which is exactly, you know, why and how they laid an egg.
Right. Right. No, for sure. There's not. It's very rare to see. And that's kind of what's a little surprising. But even, you know, even the game, look, it got progressively worse as the game went on against Anaheim. But what'd they have? The first 7 shots on goal, the Isles? Like, they came out.
Islanders to start well and end poorly.
Yeah. It is. And you look, I saw Anthony Beauvillier's Instagram of him chilling on Huntington Beach in between the San Jose game and the Anaheim game. I mean, this is not the first team, and it won't be the last team to go to California and kind of kick back a little bit and lose a little bit of that work ethic and that edge. So, you know, the California swing is always tough, despite where the team's records are.
Yeah,
but
that's
going to
be me in Florida. Just, I'm not a National Hockey League player.
Yeah. No, there you go. But you even see it in Florida, too. I mean, these teams, they come down to Sunrise, and they're terrible. They stink up the joint most of the time. So, look, again, I'm not gonna harp on it. Gibson played great to start, and I think when he made those saves, I mean, if he didn't stop one of those, it's a different story, and maybe the Isles aren't pressing. It wasn't a 3-0 game, really. I mean, that last one that went in on Grice, I mean, yeah, he's got to have that. But the team was pressing. Everybody was kind of looking to get out of the building, bounce back, beat the Kings, take away, you know, 3 out of the 6 points on the California trip and get out of Dodge. I'm happy with that. I'd be totally fine with that. The tough part about the streak is that they really didn't give themselves that much of a cushion when you look at it. The Metro is everybody's winning. Yesterday, every team got points in the Metro. Even the Rangers won a game. So, you know, you got to just keep winning. It's going to be a dogfight through the entire season. And, you know, I think that they're ready for it. I don't see any real cause for concern, but I think this is a good transition into one of our listeners, and we're gonna hit a couple of these tweets as we go through the show. And again, we thank everybody for their support and hitting us up on Twitter, asking their questions, giving us their feedback. We're gonna start with friend of the show, Tristan Peck. Tristan, thank you for always listening, man, and we love your questions. You always bring good content over to us. So I'm going to read Tristan's tweet, and I think this kind of touches a little bit on passengers, Ben, which is where you were at before. So Tristan writes, in his post-match presser, Trotz referred to some players he's been patient with so far. Who do you think he's talking about? What options does he have to tweak the lineup? And then he says, keep up the good work, chaps. Thanks, Tristan. We appreciate it. So, Ben, I'll let you answer this one first. Who is Trotz alluding to?
Well, I think it's kind of a two-parter, right? Because, like you said, kind of, you know, getting the build-up to it, there are guys who are passengers that he's kind of being – that he's being patient with, and guys that he's going to harp on. When Barzal was a passenger last year in a couple games, which was rare because Barzal's like never a passenger, Trotz was on him. So that's a guy that if he's a passenger, you're not going to be patient with. So they're not always the same. I think that he's probably being a little bit patient with Johnston, with just mostly the third line. And then I think maybe, yeah, so I'd say Del Col as well. And then
I can't believe you haven't named the one guy yet that his name is screaming in my head.
Missing. Oh, and are we talking about Anders Lee?
No.
Jordan Eberle?
Jordan Eberle, man.
Okay, well, Anders Lee is right with
okay.
Jordan Eberle.
So we'll circle back to Eberle in a second because we were very high on him when we started. In fact, we were predicting maybe a 30-goal season for Jordan Eberle. He doesn't have a single goal yet.
Oof.
And now I know he was hurt, but we'll circle back to him. Let's go. You go down the lineup. I don't think anyone on defense you can really say is a passenger. I think for the most part, the D core works pretty hard every night.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
although I think it's been an off couple days for Boychuk. I'd give Dobson the game against the Kings.
I think so too. I think you're right too. But for the sake of argument, let's say the D is pretty okay.
Yeah.
Let's go down the forwards here. I don't think you can say that Matt Barzal has been a passenger.
No, even though he was a -3.
Right, that. but for the most part, I mean, he's been off too. He's been off. I'll admit that. But I don't think that's who he's alluding to. Anders Lee, while he hasn't scored, I think he's been more involved. Some of his plays have been questionable. His passes have been questionable. I think it's more that you have to put him with somebody that he is comfortable with and familiar with, and that's Josh Bailey. So I'll give Lee a pass. I think Eberle falls in that category. He's not been playing well defensively. I don't care if you're not scoring goals, but you got to show something. And I think that he's really been struggling since he came back. And honestly, I'd rather see Wahlstrom back here if this is how he's going to play. So I think Eberle's one. I think the entire second line, you got to say, Nelson, Beauvillier, Broussard, those guys are working hard.
Yeah,
I don't
for sure.
I don't see how you can
they
say
don't fit the description of passenger.
Right. And to top it off, congratulations, Brock Nelson, number 3 star of the week last week. So that's awesome. He had a slow start to November, but he's been coming in, and I think, you know, you're going to see more consistent play from him through the whole year.
I took a little bit of a loss on that. 2 weeks ago, I was talking about how he did not start November well, and I, you know, wanted him to wake up a little bit, and he did. So I'm going to, you know, give him a pass. I think I said, though, like, I don't think it was a November thing. I think it was just like, you know, all guys go through a couple games where they're not at their best, and that was Nelson, and
just
he's back.
Coincidentally happened to happen when the calendar turned. Okay, so third line, you've got now Josh Bailey centering Dal Col and Ross Johnston, which is kind of a weird combination. And I think besides Bailey, and even Bailey has kind of like he's not shooting the puck. He's passing now when he should be shooting. So he's kind of fallen back into that pass first mentality, which is usually when he's not at the top of his game. So I think he might fall into that category. Dal Col, I don't know if you can consider him a passenger because, look, I know he's not scoring. I know he was, you know, fifth overall pick and all that. But the kid works hard, and I love seeing him on that makeshift fourth line when you've got Casey with Clutterbuck and Dal Cole. I think that's a good line. So
he works well there. The thing is that do you think that it's coincidence that the performances have been – or I don't want to say the performances because the performances haven't necessarily coincided with the margin of victory or loss over the streak. But do you think that Martin coming back, not necessarily Martin being in the lineup, but the fourth line being together, has affected the team in maybe even a negative way?
I'm glad you brought that up because Matt Martin was going to be one of my other passengers.
Yeah,
I think you were right. I think Ross Johnston for sure is you know, he needs to show more. He only got, you know, he only got in on the last game, but he didn't show anything. Something is not right with Matt Martin this year, I think.
I don't know what it
is. It just doesn't seem – I've been saying it, man. I've been beating the drum, and I think Trotz has seen it, and he's been flirting with the idea. Casey has outgrown those guys.
But I think Clutterbuck's played well this season.
He's been okay. He's been okay.
If you're going to play Dal Cole on that line, then I'm fine with that. And I said it on the last podcast where there was a tweet from – I think it was Mitch Anderson about how funny it would be if J.G. Pageau – if we got JG Pageau and he played with Beauvillier and Brassard in like a French Canadian line,
the French connection, man, that'd be sweet.
Exactly. And then you have the first line of Nelson, of Barzal, Lee, and then Bailey, which we'll get to later. And then you have Nelson, Eberle, and I'm forgetting.
No, I don't think you could. Well, yeah, I guess.
Nelson, Eberle. Did I say Nelson Bailey?
No, well, yeah, it's Nelson Eberle. Bailey would be on the first line at that point. So, yeah, you have...
Nelson Eberle, and I'm missing...
Bo would be on the French Connection line.
Who am I missing?
You would have... Well, see, that's where it gets confusing. Dal Cole?
It could be Dal Cole. It could be
Johnston. Wallstrom. It could be... Yeah, I mean, Koivula. It's a kind of a mix. Like it's kind of a hodgepodge down at the bottom. I mean, so... Trotz can tweak certain things. I'd rather not play hypotheticals because I think Ottawa would be insane to let go of Pageau. He's a hometown kid.
One of the best players in the league.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense for them to do that. Yeah, it'd be great for the Isles to get him, but like I'm done playing the hypothetical stuff. We have who we have right now, and we don't, right? So I think that's where the tweaks have to come in to answer Tristan's, you know, question. I think the passengers for me, Matt Martin, Johnston, Eberle, Lee and Bailey at times, but I think that's kind of where your passengers lie. Tweaks can be to tweak the first line. You gotta jumpstart Eberle somehow. And you gotta jumpstart Lee somehow. You know that Bailey and Lee work well together. Put them together and have Barzy center them. And then you put Eberle with Koivula.
When he played with Bailey, Lee played well when Bailey was on that line. Not necessarily with goals, but that line clicked and Barzal got points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Bailey obviously did too.
Yeah. It's the third line. I mean, we're still talking about this. It's so funny, but we're still talking about what is the third line for the Islanders. And I don't think we know yet. It has been – I mean, how many different line combinations have they had for the third line so far? You've got four kids debut – right? Three of them have been on that line, that third, fourth line, whatever you want to call it, the non-Casey bottom six line. Trotz is looking to find something that's going to be consistent. And I don't think he's found it yet. And I'm also surprised with how much Komarov is not playing. Like, I wonder if he's still not well. Like, if there's something more going on, because it doesn't seem like Leo's the kind of guy that Trotz is just going to scratch, especially if he's saying we have guys that aren't working hard. Well, Komarov, look, he's many things. Lazy's not one of them, you know? Like, this guy works hard. So if you want a hard-working line, and they were even talking about him being in the lineup on the MSG broadcast, and then he wasn't. So something's weird there.
Yeah. But really, I honestly, for the life of me, when I saw Johnston was in the lineup, and it's nothing against Johnston, I don't get him and Martin both being in the lineup. I love that they're both on the team. I don't get having both of them in the lineup at the same time. I really just don't understand the need for it, especially when you have a guy like Komarov on the bench, because say you want to have Bailey on the first line, then you can have a third line that has you move Dal Col down to the fourth line, and you can have a third line that's Koivula, Eberle, and Komarov or something. And that's kind of interesting. Like, I'm intrigued by that.
And look, hindsight's 20/20. So yeah, maybe you try that. You know, if you play, you know, if you can go back in time. But Anaheim's a big team. Anaheim's a heavy team.
Yeah.
I don't blame Trotz for having beef in the lineup.
Koivula is like, what is he, 6'4"?
Yeah, he's big, but he don't play big. You know the difference between seeing a guy like Ross Johnston playing. I mean, Koivula will be that way at some point, but he's still a young kid. So I don't think you necessarily put him in that kind of spot. So it'll be interesting to see in the LA game what that third line looks like. And I think that's really – because you make a slight tweak on the first line. The second line is solid. Casey's line is solid. I'd like to see Dal Col with Clutterbuck and Casey. I just like the way that line is made up. And then your third line is going to be whatever starts to click and whoever gels. And you put Eberle on that third line, you're going to get a little bit more skill in your bottom six, and that's not a bad thing. So that's kind of what I would – that's what I would mess with.
Get David, somebody – the best, the most consistent third line performer for the Islanders this season was Cole Bardreau.
Right.
Yeah. And like, sure, that says a lot about Cole Bardreau, but I think it says more about the third line, does it not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It does. And that's the thing. But Cole worked hard.
No, of course it does. Of course he did, and it's props. He did a great job while he was up. But at the end of the day, when you're sitting on a fourth line that as much as it provides more offense than it should, you can't rely on for offense. A third line that is like whichever three players happen to be playing on that night. A second line that's good, we're going to forget the second line for a second, and a first line that's made of the best player on the team and two wingers who can't find the net. Then if your second line's having an off night, then you get shut out, which is exactly what happened to the Islanders last night. Which is why you need to figure out – if you're not going to figure out the third line, then you have to figure out the first line. And they only gave Bailey one shift with Barzal and Lee, and it was like a 30-second shift that they spent the whole time in the neutral zone. And so, again, like, I don't want to harp on this team because they went 17 games without losing in regulation. But I know that I can't say that this is unsustainable because it's so sustainable. I love this team, and it's going to work so much. But I think that the system with the third line might be unsustainable, just that bit of it.
Well, I think they have to figure out what their third line is going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think Trotz has found that yet because no one's consistent. If he had guys on the third line that were consistently playing physical and possessing the puck and making life difficult for the opponent, then, yeah, you go with that. But didn't
you just describe Leo Komarov?
To a point, but Leo can't finish. Leo is one cog in that. And that's why I go back to the fact that I don't think Leo's healthy. I just can't see how Trotz, who played Komarov as much as he possibly could last season, all of a sudden this year is like, not tonight, Leo. Maybe next game. Like, no, that doesn't seem right. The whole thing with him from the very beginning with the illness and then it became a neck thing and now the healthy scratches, something is not right there. I don't think.
Yeah.
But
do you think that it's – because I'm conflicted because I'm thinking about what you said about size against Anaheim. But the way that first period went with the way the Islanders sustained pressure, and I don't remember what the shot totals were in the first period. It was like 14 to 6.
It was lopsided. It was lopsided Islanders. But and there was not a lot of, like, they were shots, but I wouldn't say that there were, like, grade A quality.
For sure.
They and that's couldn't the get thing anything is, going in front of the net because Anaheim's a big team.
Yeah. But that's the thing that confused me is I'm thinking, like, it's hard to get that sustained pressure when you only have two offensive lines and only one of them's working. Which is just why I think, and I think we're sort of segueing into the next bit of the next tweet that we wanted to read, but you just need to figure out that first line because when you only have two offensive lines, which is how the Islanders play, and there's nothing wrong with that, they both have to be on or you're not going to win.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. And yeah, well, let's get to that tweet because it's really exactly what we're talking about here. So again, we appreciate the feedback and the responses. So this is from Jeff Meltzer. And Jeff says, it may be time to drop Ebbs down and get Bailey back with Barzal and Lee. Bailey has good talent and is effective in the dirty areas. Lee belongs in front or in the slot. Barzal belongs everywhere but pounding in the corners. Ebbs is a heck of a player but not a mucker. Yeah, that's exactly. And that was, you know, he was kind of, Jeff was responding to a conversation you and I were having on Twitter where I was saying it's time to get Bailey back with Lee. Whether you put them, whether they're first line or third line, I mean, it's time. And you know, maybe it's time to try Ollie again. Maybe you call up Ollie and you put him on the wing with Barzy.
And the issue with Wahlstrom is that it's, if he plays one more game, it takes off a year of his entry level.
Yeah, but if we're going to if we're in a position where we want to make a run for the cup this year and Wahlstrom can help by playing with Barzal, then you do it. And maybe you move Ebbs to his off wing and you play Barzal with Eberle and Wahlstrom and you have your third line of Bailey, Lee, and, you know, I mean, Bailey can play center. Maybe you put Lee, you know, on that, you know, on his wing, or you put them as wings and you have Leo play third line center. I mean, you've got so many different possibilities, but that, you know, I'd like to maybe see, you need to see Barzy with a shooter. It's not working right now with Eberle. As much as we want it to, it's not. And I agree with Jeff. Eberle's not a mucker. He's a finisher, which is fine. He makes space for himself. I mean, he had chances against Anaheim. So did Lee. So it could just be that it's, you know, we've had the bounces for so long. Now they're not getting the bounces. I mean, Lee had what? He had like three or four shots in the first period in the Anaheim game, if I'm not mistaken. Were they high quality chances? No, but I mean, he's getting his chances.
Yeah,
it's just not going in.
Yeah, and what you're saying about Eberle is really, really hitting a spot where we've been talking about how even when guys aren't scoring, they're contributing. But the problem with Eberle is that Eberle's contribution is goals and purely goals. Like, he can be okay in the defensive end. He like has a 1,000 save percentage. I forget who that was against. But that crazy save where he just like got down and took one right in the chest. But he's a scorer, and he makes chances for himself, and he has the chances. So it's hard to harp on his, like, play. You can obviously harp on the fact that he hasn't scored. I think he has, like, 5 or 6 assists. So it's not like he hasn't been involved, which is exactly what we're saying for all these guys. The problem is that with Eberle, the most important thing is him scoring goals. End of. There's really nothing else you can say about that. And when he's not scoring, you kind of have to get down on him, even if he is doing other things.
Yeah. Well, okay, so let's take Komarov off the board for a second. We know that Kunakle's still hurt. We know that Ladd's in Bridgeport. So there's a little bit of flexibility here. Would you maybe try to put, like I said, Eberle on his off wing with Wahlstrom and Barzal on the top line? Give Barzal true wings to play with. Now, are those guys going to muck it up in the corners and get the puck? Maybe not. You don't know how that's going to work. And maybe Eberle's not the answer with Wahlstrom and Barzal. But would you maybe try to put Lee and Bailey with Otto Koivula on the third line and try to catch lightning in a bottle? Let the kid play with the veterans on his wings?
Okay, so two things come to mind. Or three things come to mind. One, line one is juicy. I love how that sounds on paper. Two, same thing with line three. I love how that sounds on paper. But three, I think it's risky. And I think as much as it's a risk that I'm willing to take, I think that it is too much. I would say it would be too risky for Trotz and Lou to go for that at the expense of a year of Wahlstrom's entry level.
So, okay. Follow me on
But
that.
I would be...
Follow me on this thread before you go off. What if instead of it's Koivula, it's Casey Cizikas, Anders Lee, Josh Bailey, third line?
Well, but that doesn't change the fact that Wahlstrom's in the first line.
No, well,
my biggest issue is with the first line. I think that Koivula, Lee, and Bailey, who did you just say? Sorry.
Cizikas.
Or Cizikas, Lee, and Bailey. Both of those lines I'm less worried about than Barzal, Eberle, and Wahlstrom. Obviously not because I'm worried about Barzal, although it's difficult because if Wahlstrom and Eberle don't – say that line doesn't work out, then what you have is another few games of Barzal not – of your the best player on your team not getting points, the best scorer on your team not getting goals, and you wasted a couple million because of Wahlstrom's entry-level deal.
Which, right. No, you got to be damn sure that it's going to work.
And you can't be damn sure. That's the thing. It's a risk no matter how you put it.
Yeah, and this is hinging on, again, saying, well, we want Lee with Bailey. You could not do that. You can still call Wahlstrom up, and you could put Bailey with Cizikas and Eberle if you wanted or something. You know, you've got some options. Ooh. There. I'm curious. I'm really going to be curious to see what this lineup looks like, because we have not seen Barry Trotz have to course correct after a loss like this since October 11th. So we have not seen his lineup response when he's pissed. And make no doubt about it, he was pissed after that game.
Oh, so
you're going to see more of what he was alluding to, I think, with who's in the lineup and who's not. And maybe he doesn't do anything crazy yet because, like, they're in California. They're not going to call up anybody from Bridgeport now anyway. And I don't even think that that's necessarily the answer.
That'd be even more money for Otto Koivula. Yeah. Or, no, he's still with the team, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say, because Otto Koivula has been spending so much money on Metro North that if he was going to have to buy him a plane ticket to California.
Oh, yeah. No, that guy's got the – he's accumulating the miles. I can't wait to see how that goes. But, you know, I haven't thought that he looked bad at all. Like, I just think that, you know, he's playing – anybody – I don't care who you are, when you're playing 7 minutes, like, it doesn't really help. Like, Trotz has to figure out what he wants out of that third line, really.
Yeah. That's the thing, is that the only answer that we had to the question who's getting on the third line at the beginning of the year was Derek Brassard. And he's, like, one of the few guys that are pretty much guaranteed not to be on the third line.
Yeah, right, and now. So is Bo, the other one that we were arguing about that was going to be in the third line. So the third line's become the second line. Okay, cool. That works for me. The points are there. Great. Now we got to figure out what the identity of the third line is going to be. And maybe that's part of why they're having such trouble with figuring that out, because of the emergence of Derek Brassard as a winger and how he's changed the makeup of the top six. So not a bad problem to have, but now we just got to figure out what we're gonna do with it. So I'm curious. I think they're gonna have a bounce back game against the Kings. I think they're gonna win that game. This team does not like to lose. They always come out after a loss with a solid game. I think they're gonna beat the Kings, and I think we're gonna see kind of where Barry wants this team to go as we get through this the final game of the Western road trip, you know, the traveling road trip. So
Trotz should have like a no beach allowed today.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's probably stuff in the CBA that says you can't do that, but hey, do you mind if I pull this away from the aisles a little bit?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, because I just want to say, it looks like — it's not official yet, but it looks like two guys that I am very happy will no longer be in the NHL. Maybe not for long, but are not with their teams right now. Mike Babcock and Bill Peters. So I want to talk a little bit about Mike Babcock, because I've seen on Twitter everybody getting on Mike Commodore for bashing Mike Babcock. Mike Babcock is a psychopath. He is an egotistical, crazy, low ethics, just a bad dude. You know, anybody who's been around the league that talks, and it's not many people, you know, this sport, this is a very tight-lipped, you know, you hardly get information, but the things that Mike Babcock does, and this is even before the Mitch Marner stuff, which I want to touch on in a second, but Mike Babcock The story that Mike Commodore told on the Spit and Chicklets podcast not long ago was about Mike Babcock. He comes out. It's training camp. It was with Detroit. There's a rookie that's out there that's their first time he's playing in an NHL arena. The kid's, like, taping his stick, just looking in the crowd. He's obviously in awe. Babcock walks out. He goes, "Hey, man." He's like, "You like what you see?" And the kid's like, "Yeah, this is amazing. I'm so excited to play," whatever he says. Babcock goes, "Cool. Well, take a good look, because this will probably be the only time you'll ever play in an NHL arena." And he turns around and he walks out. Now, what kind of person does something like that?
It's the kind of thing where, like, you almost laugh at, because in, like, a comedy show setting, that would be a funny joke.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, we're talking about real life with, like, a real person, which is kind of similar to the Mitch Marner thing, where, yeah, where he just, like, says, okay, lists someone based on their hard work. Can you imagine? I mean, not even the fact that he was shared it with the team, but imagine you walk into your office on your first day and your boss goes, or on your, like, third day, and your boss goes, "Last 2 days, what have you thought about all your coworkers? Rank them for me."
Yeah.
Like, or me with my classmates in Spanish class. Like, I would talk about that with my friends. Like, right, there are a couple people in my Spanish class I don't like, but I'm not going to tell my teacher that.
Yeah.
And then my teacher tells them that, like,
what? Yeah. So if you aren't familiar with exactly what happened, Babcock had Mitch Marner, when he was a rookie, rank the hardest working players on the Maple Leafs, and then went and told the team who Marner thought was not the hardest working players, like the bottom guys, the laziest players. This is just mental. This is absolutely bonkers to do this to a rookie. This guy does not belong in the league. And now there's rumors coming out that Matt Martin was scratched all those games when he played in Toronto because he stood up for Marner, went at Babcock, and Leo Komarov had to break up the altercation. So this stuff goes on. Babcock's done it to Mike Commodore. He did it to Jason Spezza. He did it to Mike Modano. He does not belong behind the bench. I don't care. I could have coached that Canada team that won the gold medal. So don't tell me he's this great coach. And you know what? Bowman hooked him up in Detroit too. So he had a chance to build a name for himself in Toronto, and he crashed into a brick wall. So that's guy number one. See you later. The unfortunate side effect is now the Maple Leafs are probably going to be the team that they should have been, which is pretty good. So watch out. But anyway, Mike Babcock, later, bro. Bill Peters.
Wait, David, do you think that maybe that's why Komarov isn't playing?
No. Take your tinfoil hat off. Now, let's get to Bill Peters real quick. There was some stuff breaking in the last 24 hours or so about Bill Peters and him basically using racial slurs to describe the type of music that was being played in the Flames locker room. And pretty much right off the bat, he's been essentially relieved of his duties. He wasn't running practice. Brad Treliving says that there's not going to be any action taken until they can assess the situation and, then make the determination. But it's bad. It's bad. And just to kind of give you some context here, Calgary Flames coach Bill Peters being investigated for alleged racist comments directed at former player, and that player is Akeem Aliyu. And it was basically during 2009-2010. He was coaching the Rockford Ice Hogs, and there's players that have corroborated the story now. So it sounds like Peters is going to be out. And look, I don't know much about Peters as a person, but if this stuff is true, it's one less racist in the league. We don't need that. Hockey's supposed to be a sport that is inclusive of everyone. And if these end up being true, which it sounds like they are, if they've been corroborated, but if they end up being true, there's no business. Really, he has no business being in the league, and he's another one that should be out. So, hey, maybe addition by subtraction, if you've got two guys that are low in character, again, if the Peters stuff ends up being true, and they shouldn't deserve to be in the league. So anyway, that's my little spiel on that.
You go yeah. off.
Well, you know, but I held back. I try to keep this PG-13. I'm not really saying what I want to say, but it's okay. So anyway. But yeah, man, that's really, I mean, look, there's not much to talk about. We could sit here and we could recap the games. I thought they had a great home and home sweep against the Penguins. They were exciting games. I was actually in Sunrise at the Flyers Panthers game, and I was in Club Lexus, which, if you don't know, that's the only way to go to a Panthers game. Club Lexus. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
All you can eat, all you can drink. It's amazing. So the Flyers got pounded.
So did you.
I go up to the club towards the end of the night, and I see Pulock wind up and just blow it past Murray to tie the game 4-4 and send it to overtime. And I just, like, that's when you kind of knew, you're like, something, this streak is so special, right? So I love the home and home. I love the comeback against Philly. I thought they had great effort against San Jose. So I'm excited. I mean, look, it's a bump in the road. Everybody needs to take a breath and relax. Losing sucks, and it happens, and you move on. And you know what? Let's come back and let's not make this a trend. Let's get a win on the West Coast, and let's just keep the thing going. We got a soft schedule coming up, and I think we can continue to put points on the board and eventually catch Washington and take that first place spot. So that's how I see it, man. I'm really not too worried.
No, not at all. And I think sort of the last thing that I wanted to just get to is that we've been talking about the forwards for some 45 minutes now. But we got to give the defense some credit. I mean, Pulock, Pelech, Taves, Mayfield, and also I'd say Leddy. And then I'm tempted to say Boychuk, but like for some of it, Boychuk looks tired to me. I think he should get a couple of days off like he did earlier in the season and then come back, hopefully, like he did. We got to give them credit because they're playing like, you know, the reigning Jennings defense, even though the goaltenders get the awards, should. Mm-hmm. And they play simple. They keep shots to the outside. In the Maple Leafs game, there's the Carey Haber. So if you don't follow Carey Haber at Habermetrics, just want to, you know, give credit where credit is due, posted the heat map for shot charts for the first period against the Maple Leafs. And if you don't remember the game or the period, I'm sure you remember at least parts of the game because, you know, we won. But the first period, the Maple Leafs dominated for 15 minutes, and then the Islanders scored twice and were up 2-0, but did not play well by any means for the first 15 minutes. Despite that, Toronto didn't have that many, you know, crazy chances. But they had, you know, some 15 or 17 shots in the first period. But the shots chart, it was from all four corners. Like the corner outside of the faceoff dots on both sides and the corners of the blue line. And there's nothing from even remotely close to the slot. Whereas the Islanders had, you know, two little dots in the slot, and there's 2-0. And that is Trotz hockey. So credit to Trotz, credit to the defense, and credit to the goaltenders too. Even Varlamov, who had two or three, four goals against games in a row, just playing how the game should be played, simple Islanders hockey. Like you said, culture change. This is how this team plays, and it's not going to change, and it is sustainable because it's not about luck. It's about hard work, and hard work makes luck.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
there is my spiel about that.
No, that's perfect. And just to summarize the goalie numbers right now. So the league average save percentage is .908. It's down. It's down. Scoring's up. The save percentage is down. Thomas Greiss, save percentage of a .930. Goals against average of a 2.15. Semyon Varlamov, 2.67 goals against average, .913 save percentage. So they're above league average. I agree with what you're saying about Boychuk. I think that it's okay to give him a blow every so often. He's older, you know. It's okay to get Dobson.
And is it fair to say the Islanders have the best seventh defenseman in the league?
Whether it's Dobson or Boychuk, it'd be hard to argue that. And you know what? where last year Pollock was probably their number one D-man, is Adam Pellick not the number one D-man on this team this year? Like, unbelievable.
Maybe,
unbelievable.
Yeah. And then you go to the second pairing, and I said it 2 weeks ago, I wanted to bring it up with you, that obviously it's said commonly, there are guys across the league where, you know, when they have the puck on their stick, you sit up in your seat, you think something's happening. And the guy that the Islanders have that is like that is Barzal. But if you're looking at the number two guy on that list for, you know, you sit up when he has the puck on his stick, at least in the offensive zone, I want to say it's Devon Toews.
Yeah, he's pretty shifty. He's got great vision too. Like, exactly. And he's been kind of cool. He's cooled off a little bit too.
But even as much as the stats have cooled off, I feel like the play hasn't as much. And that pairing has of Toews and Mayfield is a second pairing defenseman, second pairing D that play like a first pairing, honestly. And then Boychuk and Leddy also are like a second pairing. There's no third pair on this team, and it's just astonishing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. They're just consistent, man. Like, they play a consistent game, and they play the same kind of game whether they're up 3-0, down 3-0, tie game. Like, they're just steady. When you play like that, you're gonna win more than you're gonna lose. That's just, you see it now. You see it. This is like, you hear the cliche, oh yeah, Islander hockey. Well, you know what Islander hockey is now. Like, under Barry Trotz, you know what Islander hockey is. So that is you come in waves, you've got steady D, and we've got, like we've said last season and in the off season and in the preseason and everything, we've got big mobile defensemen that are playing well, that move the puck, that clear the crease, and it's fun to watch. So yeah, I mean, The D is solid. I think the forwards, there's just some tweaks that need to be made. But all in all, I still think, and I'm gonna tease this for next week, but I think we can kind of get into the great debate of whether or not this team should be in win now mode. Meaning, do you go after, I know I said I didn't want to talk about it before, but do you go after a Pageau or a Taylor Hall or a Big Fish and sell some of the future because you've got a team that can win now? The window's not as big as you think, especially with Barzal making the money he's making. He's going to make $10, $11 million next year. So that means you're going to have less flexibility. Do you go win now? And I think that's something that we'll talk about and maybe debate next week if you're up for that, Ben, because you know how I feel about this.
I'm up for anything. It's Islanders podcasting. Doesn't get better than that.
Exactly.
Although, actually, it does get better than that. There's one thing that was amazing. I saw today in my physics classroom that my physics teacher has a countdown already to winter break, which is hilarious that it's before Thanksgiving. And there are 13 more school days until winter break. I get back from Thanksgiving. I have a 4-day week, then a 5-day week, and then a 3-day week, and then it's winter break.
You know that no one can relate to that listens to this probably. And
I know, and I'm kind of rubbing it.
That's just cheap, man.
But Damon,
now we're debating.
Islanders related. Yesterday, I'm with my friend. Where, you know, it's the last day of, today was the last day of school before Thanksgiving, so we didn't have that much homework last night. So I'm sitting playing FIFA with my friend. If you didn't know from me comparing the Islanders to a soccer team last or 2 weeks ago, which I won't bore you with, Damon. No, but there's a relationship with like XG and Corsi, whatever. Anyway, we're playing, and my friend who's a Bruins fan, I live in Bruins territories, like when the Islanders play at TD Garden. And I remember it would being, you know, sometime in January, so on like a Thursday, so I couldn't go. Also, TD Garden was really expensive. And I saw it's just, they play in TD Garden December 19th, which is my first day of winter break. And so I think we're going to go, and I'm so pumped.
Nice. Do it, man.
Although they're going to lose because it's TD Garden. And no
yeah,
one,
it's the Bruins, man. It's not a good matchup against the Isles, but
you know, you got to go support.
You got to go. You have to go. You have to go.
When your team plays against your hometown team at your hometown team, you can't not go. It's like,
yeah, for sure. No, you'll have a good time.
Yeah. Just
avoid that psycho Bruins fan that you probably saw in Barstool that freaked out at the dude who spilled like something on her jacket and she.
Oh, I hate to break it to you, Damon. Every Bruins fan is like that.
Cool. Literally, well,
I was at a Bruins Devils game. Like, that's not really. That's like kind of a rivalry because they're kind of close. Literally, my first professional hockey game. It was a Bruins Devils game. Literally, a fight broke out between Bruins fans. Like, not even Bruins and Devils. Like, two Bruins fans. There is more drunk people at TD Garden on a given Bruins or Celtics game per capita than maybe any other place on the planet. And well, that is why I despise Boston.
Say what you will, but it's been the city of champions lately, unfortunately. No, so
I live here and I chose not to support Boston teams.
And the Long Island Sound podcast is happy that you made that choice because you might be listening to the Beantown Bake Off podcast. Who knows if you were a Bruins fan. So, you know. Well, let's looking forward here. We've got the Kings tomorrow night, which is Wednesday, right before Thanksgiving, 10:30 Eastern. Then the Isles come back home for a game against the Blue Jackets Saturday the 30th at 7 p.m. Always a fun environment back home, the game after Thanksgiving. I've been to many of those, and that's a rowdy crowd. That's going to be a fun night. And then the Isles go back on the road. They play the Red Wings Monday, December 2nd, 7:30. So you got some teams here that are low in the standings. They got to get four out of 6 points these next three games, I would think. So
six. You got to be optimistic.
Hey, the way this has gone, why not? I mean, I expect it, but you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We got to get back to reality here. So I'll be happy with two out of three. But yeah, take the points and run. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat. Keep going, and we'll be just fine. So
yeah, we're recording at 7:50, and I am gonna record on the plane. If I don't fall asleep, it's gonna be like 5 a.m. So I'm gonna not record, edit on the plane. If you're wondering, why we're able to cut out all of the nonsense that comes out of Kenny's mouth. I was really hoping that he was on tonight. I thought of that a couple hours ago. I was really hoping that he was on because I didn't want to say it behind his back. But, like, I was going to say it anyway, let's be honest. So if you're wondering who's editing that stuff, it's me. and so it's going to be, like, a 5 a.m. on the airplane. And I learned that Bluetooth headphones don't work for Audacity, which is the editing software that I used. Now I learned that the hard way because I was trying to edit when I was supposed to be working on an essay in English class, and your voice just started blasting to my English class.
Oh, nice. So the whole English class heard me talking.
Yeah, exactly. I have repped our podcast in English class because my teacher is always like, what do you watch over the weekend? And I was like, I watched a hockey game and then I had a podcast about it.
Nice.
And then everyone's like, what's it called? And I'm like, you know, it's the Long Island Podcast. You should go check it out. So yeah, it's the Long Island Podcast. You all should go check it out. Although if you heard this, you're listening to it anyway. So
the Long Island Podcast?
Oh, Long Island Sound Podcast. Yeah, no, we don't just talk about Long Island because.
Yeah, well, there's the.
We talk about the most important.
We can talk about the duck. We can talk about taxes, potholes, the reason why I left. There's many things, but we'll keep it to the Long Island Sound podcast, which. Cool. Well, guys, thanks for sticking with us. We hope you and your families have an awesome Thanksgiving. Ben, safe travels to you, my friend. Enjoy the sunshine down here.
Oh, I will.
We'll be closer than ever. Too bad the Isles weren't playing the Panthers because we
can hook up. That's the first game on the schedule that I check. It's a win-win. I can see family, but not for too long. Sit in the sun and go see an Islanders game. Panthers game though.
Yeah. It'll happen soon. I think they're playing on like the 12th or something. But anyway, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Thanks for listening. We always appreciate your feedback, your input. Hit us up on Twitter. Ben's at LISound_. I'm at KaijuBlue13. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. The streak is over, but the season is just getting started. For Ben, I'm Damon. Thanks for listening. Later.